Ready? We're going to be in chapter 3 of Romans, so if it'll be easy at least to know what we're talking about today, chapter 3 of Romans. Have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with my mouth and give me clarity. Thank you for your scriptures, that they can show and enlighten us to your will and show us the greatness of your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is about righteousness. It's about also that no one is without guilt. In Romans 1 through about the end of Romans 3, about verse 26 in Romans 3, it's about how all men are guilty before God. I'm going to start off by reading a little section of Romans 3. What advantage then has the Jew, what profit of circumcision? What is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Now, in another chapter, it talked about the different things that they were blessed in. And it goes through those different things, and I'll probably bring those up a little later. But they were given these the worship service and many different things were given to the Jewish people. And yet they rejected Christ in faith. For going on to verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. God, the Jewish people, they said, we will obey your laws. And they didn't. They were liars. And all men are liars. God, however, made a promise to Abraham. And he's faithful. And He will be just in all of his judgments. But what if the unrighteous demonstrates the righteousness of God? What shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then, how will God judge the world? So here we see the human argument that, gee, if we contrast all this sin against God's righteousness, won't that just lift up God's righteousness? But we know that the righteous will be called righteous and the unrighteous will be unrighteous. And man is making, he's speaking as man just because of the falseness of it all. That God will hold on to his character. His character is righteousness and holiness. And he will stay true to that. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs is divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, as I was mentioning earlier, the temple worship, the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah. But they were going to be judged for their unbelief. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God demonstrates his love. And you know, in the Old Testament, God makes a covenant with Israel through a mediator, Moses. However, in the New Covenant, God is one God. That's kind of the one thing about the Jewish people, it's one God. Well, God in Jeremiah talks about what he will do. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. When he made the promise in the new covenant, it was to Abraham and his seed. And he was doing everything. Man is really left out of it. And that's how we can have assurance that it will be done, because God's in taking over and doing all things well. You know, if God did forgive man's sin to glorify himself, he would have to abandon all judgment. He couldn't judge sin. Well, he's certainly not doing that. You know, in Genesis 18, it says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And yes, he will. And you know, this same kind of argument was brought up in Romans 6, in verse 1, where it said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, we no longer live therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" So we kill the old self. We deny sin. And we know that God will do what is best for man if man will only believe in his way of salvation. So in verse 7, "For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say?" So they were saying that they were saying these things, that let evil have its reign, that good may come. And he said that's totally a lie. They did not say it, and that their condemnation is just for such thinking. So we see then that all are guilty before God. And Paul makes arguments about, he goes back to Old Testament's quotes and to support his charge that they are unrighteous. And that starts up here in verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and the Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Pretty wicked things here. "And their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." So he points these out to make his case. And there's others also that I might add in talking about the unrighteousness that man has. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of the Israelites be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on the earth with speed and finality." It is just as Isaiah said previously, "Unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah." So we see that unless God made a way of salvation, no one was going to be saved, because all came short of the glory of God. And we know also that those who practice the law, those who keep the whole law and yet stumble at just one point, are guilty of all the law. So he speaks a lot, you see here, to the Jews about how they shouldn't be mighty in their thinking, although they have these privileges, but they should realize that they are sinners. For the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. And the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there is anyone who understands, any who seek God. All have turned away and have become corrupt. So we fall short of the glory of God. And we see that our salvation, let's go on in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So then we go into a whole new section. And we know that there were prophets that searched for what was coming and how salvation would come about. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah. And as we read in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. So here is the statement that just about sums up Romans when it says, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. So that righteousness started with Abraham, did it not? And it was accounted to him for righteousness when he believed that Sarah and him would have a son. And this promise was to him and to his seed. And this promise that if when we believe, we become the seed of Abraham. From the promise that Abraham would be the heir of the world was not to him or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And for all, and in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we were released from this bondage of sin by what Christ accomplished. And but the heirs were not going to be heirs because they followed the law. Faith is not made void by the law. Faith, the promise was from the beginning. And the law, we all know, was brought to us for a couple different reasons. One, it was a schoolmaster to us. It was to show us, here's what's holy, right, and just, and good. And it shows us that, okay, can you fulfill this covenant that he had with Israel through Moses? And it was shown that they couldn't over 400 years. And it showed that the law was weak in that the flesh could not do it. Mm-hmm. But it also showed that sin was very sinful. And there's no transgression without the law, is there? But with the law came the sinfulness of sin, and it was shown, man. And it's all... the law was given so that it could point us to Christ, so we could see the importance of Christ. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. But the law, it worketh wrath. We are freely justified by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You know, there's the casualness of sin. We're talking about righteousness. We're talking about how to obtain righteousness. And man has to see that God's view is different than his view. And man needs to see things through God's eyes. In man's viewpoint of sin, man calls sin an accident, but God calls it an abomination. Man calls sin an infirmity. God calls it iniquity. Man calls sin a luxury, but God calls it leprosy. Man calls sin a trifle, and God calls it a tragedy. But just the sinfulness of sin and how our great need for his word and his salvation through Christ Jesus and faith. And this is, God presents Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. And here, let's read this where it talks about this. In verse 25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had passed over sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We fell short in observing the law. Not one, but one did come who came from heaven, sent by God, lived a sinless life. He fulfilled all the law perfectly, and he gave his life a sacrificial atonement on the cross to wipe away the ordinances that were against us and brought in the New Testament by his blood, so that God may be just in declaring us justified and righteous when we believe in Christ and we live in him and he in us. What a merciful and loving God we have. So it is by faith and not works, lest any man should boast. Abraham truly is the father of us all. He was declared righteous because he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. As scripture, therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. We see in Galatians 3 there's a real parallel understanding of these things with Romans 3 and Galatians 3. Understanding then, here in Galatians 3, verse 7, understand then that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, because in that covenant it was that all nations would be blessed. So he's bringing up the Gentiles. And he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through him. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. And in Galatians 3 also, it talks about us being children of God. Before coming of this faith, we were held under the custody of the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was a guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we no longer are under a guardian. And we, so It's a thing that, you know, the law is not done away, is it? So, you know, love fulfills the law. And we know that to give to everyone in... We should owe no man anything but our love to him. We should not owe them anything but that. Let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another. And whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So the law isn't done away. The law is only promoted more highly. We have the law now written upon our hearts. It is in us. This is the new covenant. And our covenant and that promise that we have, the promise is that we are his people and he is our God. And we have our sins forgiven us. Many blessings have come upon us by faith, this salvation, this promise that was given by God himself. The law was given by a ministry of angels and a hand of a mediator, Moses. The law wasn't designed to replace the promise. The law is not contrary to the gospel of Christ, but it tends in every way to promote it. So, I am thankful that we can be justified, and I'd like to just go over a little bit about justification. Justification, its author is God. Its source is grace. The blood of Christ is its foundation. Its means is faith. Its proof is the resurrection. Its evidence is walking after the Spirit. These are about justification now. Its fruit is good works. Its assurance is the knowledge of his will. Its results of justification or forgiveness. We have been reckoned righteous. Its result is hope that salvation as we live here on earth. It is the love of God and saved from wrath. Justification is that being reconciled to God. So praise God for the many blessings we have as we have looked in Romans 3, that justification is by faith. All men are guilty before God, and that he has made a way of salvation through faith. Mm-hmm. Comments, corrections.
In verse 6, where it says, how could God judge the world? Like, if God would be happy with sin because it emphasized how righteous he was, then how would God judge the world? And you brought that out, but that was God is never happy about sin. People might think, well, if other people look bad, then I might look good. But God doesn't think bad at all. His righteousness would be emphasized when we are righteous like him.
Amen. Let us stand and have a word of prayer.